LNB's audio diary. Is this on?
Is this on? It looks like it's on. Let's assume it's on. Yeah, okay.
Sorry about that. LNB's audio diary for the 3rd of December, 2023. It is a Sunday, and it's about 10 of 2 in the afternoon. I'll have to pick up Mrs. Bronx at the shelter today, but I'm going in a little bit early because I want to hit Lowe's and see if I can pick up some equipment, because I'm going to be working on the front steps, building a new set of front steps. Now, I am not Mr. Fix-It, right? I am not handy. That is not me. But this should be something more or less within my reach. I believe. I've put it off for way, way too long. And I think I can manage this. Now, the reason I'm doing it now is because I have the time. As I said in a previous upload, I think, anyway, I finished All He Surveys Volume 1, including the audiobook. That finished on the 30th. Technically, it finished on the 29th, but I listened to the whole thing again and just gave myself that extra day to make sure I had gotten it correct. You know, all the editing and the uploading and all of that stuff. So, that book is done. And I said to myself, I'm going to take the month of December off from Star Drifter and then come in fresh on the 1st. That very same day, the 30th, that evening was the longest night I can remember in the longest time. I was so bored. I had nothing to do. So, yeah, I don't think I'm taking a month off, as it turns out. I'm just going to work on the writing for Volume 2 as I see fit. So, it's not in earnest. It's as I find time and I, you know, when I'm feeling like I got nothing else to do and I've got a creative itch, I'm just going to work on it, because I just don't know what to do with myself otherwise. Just don't know how to spend my time. So, looking back on the process for All He Surveys, it was really quite extended, and in many ways, it's a victim of the pandemic, because during that time period, especially during lockdown in 2020 and parts of 2021, I didn't get very much done creatively. Those kind of all passed in a blur for me. And you'd think it would be fine. You'd think it'd be, you know, business as usual for me. Because what, I mean, I always spend every day as if it's lockdown. I like to stay home. It's what I do. I'm a homebody. But it must have been having some effect on me, because I was not very productive. I don't think I was anyway. So there were delays, inevitable delays, and I didn't get as much done on that as I wanted to, all things being equal. So, I'm going to try to be better for the next volume. Volume 2, I'm hoping to get entirely done in 2024, the entire thing, 2024, and I think I can do it. I think I can do it, because so much of it's already done. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. At any rate, I have this time, this month, to work on other things. And one of those things is the front stairs that needs doing. So I'm going in and I'm going to look for hardware. I already went in. They make these cutout pieces. I think they call them bucks, but these cutout pieces for short steps. And they're actually made for patios and things of that nature, where you're stepping up onto a platform, like your backyard or something like that. But in our case, it'll work out really just fine for the front steps, or it should. So I have two of those. I already have those. I actually have a lot of wood in the shed. I don't think it's enough for the steps, but I do have, and I have to go through all that and measure it out before I decide exactly what I'm going to be doing for fastening and all the rest. I'm probably going to have to buy some wood. I'm just going to have to. That's probably how it's going to play out, but we'll see. We'll see. I got to really get in there, really make some decisions about all of that. But I know I have some, and I should be able to use at least some of it. I want a tool. I want to use a handsaw for this. It's just easier for me. I don't do power tools all that well. I can use a drill. I can use a drill. And, you know, I've used my share, though I haven't used anything really big like a table saw. Not to any great extent, anyway. My stepdad always had a big table saw and used it quite a bit. He was very handy. I wish some of that had rubbed off, but whatever. And I remember, you know, I remember it there in the basement. He used it quite a bit, but I only used it a very, very little. Very little. Not enough to even know what I'm doing, so. Not even enough to operate it safely, so. I certainly wouldn't need a table saw for this. You know, a skill saw of some sort, circular saw would be adequate. And I actually have one, but I don't like it very much. It's really heavy and actually not a good saw. It just, I don't know, there's something about it that makes it very difficult to work with. So I don't like that. I like hand saws. I can go slowly and yeah, I still get everything wrong, but I just feel like I have more control, so. I had a nice handsaw, but I don't know where it is. I kind of lost it. And I have one or two other handsaws that I don't like very much. And all of these I got for free. They were hand-me-downs. So most of them are all dull or worn out or whatever. One thing is, I do know that I prefer a draw cut, not a push cut, with a handsaw. And I'm looking for a handsaw with a draw cut. So, and draw cut means it cuts when you pull it back, not when you push it forward. And that's the kind I prefer. But most saws in, at least in North America, most saws are push cut, handsaws I mean, manual handsaws, are push cut. Whereas in Asia and Japan specifically, draw cut saws are what's normal. And I had a Japanese style draw cut saw that I really liked it. But it doesn't need to be Japanese style because it isn't just the way it cuts that makes it a Japanese style. It's the design of the saw, and it's long and with very thin blade and a long handle, and I don't need it to look like a Japanese saw. I want it to be a draw cut because I find that more comfortable and easier to work with. And if I get one, then I'll be able to work on this in a fashion that will should make it fairly easy to do. I won't do it all in one go, but if I get everything pre-cut, you know, all of the pieces, if I get them all pre-cut, the steps, I need to put notches on the bucks so that because again, it isn't designed to be a standing structure on its own. It's designed to hook into a platform of some sort, which I won't be doing. Our front stairs are standalone things. And I will have to cut out notches to put the, you know, to hook into the structure of, you know, like, just to put it together. The way I have it in mind, it will require some pre-cutting. But I should be able to do all that. And I think it'll go okay. So we'll see. It might be a major pain. We'll see. But I think I think it's within my ability to do. And if I believe I can do it, even if I make mistakes, I believe that I can figure out a way to make it work anyway. And when it's done, it'll be ugly, but it should be functional. And in the end, that's all I want. I'm going to need some kind of finish for it, an outdoor finish of some sort. And we have a banister, like a short banister, on the stairs right now that I built. And it's really kind of junky, but we don't use it to support us. Going down the stairs, we only use it for balance, right? But I might be able to make something better when this is done. You know, I can probably save that, just recycle the one I've got, and then come up with something better as time goes on. So we'll see. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but we'll see. And I have the month to work on it, so I may as well do something useful, you know, rather than feel anxious like I can't get anything done. If I have a project and I'm working on the project and it's something that's going to require concentration, which this absolutely will, then for me anyway, for others this would be so simple, it's not even worth talking about. But for me, that's a different story. And yeah, so that's why I'm going into town. I'm going to look for a saw at the hardware store, and if I find it, I'm going to buy it. If I don't, I won't. There's a franchised Ace Hardware in town, and they're actually quite helpful. I'll see if they have one there, because from there, I'll just go on to the big box store. We'll see what. I want to see what sort of anchoring system for the stairs and to put everything together. Because I would like to use, you know, like L brackets and stuff to put this together. I think it would be more secure that way. We'll see. So, anyway, yeah, that's what's on my mind. Boy, it really has been a rough couple days without something to do. And trying to distance myself from Star Drifter has been difficult. And as it turns out, it's impossible. I have to keep working on it. So, that's an odd sensation. Don't often have that feeling. But I guess if I tell myself, yeah, you can't do this thing that you find very, very interesting to do, then yeah, I'm going to feel that. It makes sense that I would not be comfortable and feel like I'm twiddling my thumbs. Which, as it turns out, that's exactly how I've been feeling. So let's see, what else have I been up to? Well, not an awful lot. I mean, I went to the shelter this morning and worked on, you know, I took care of the rabbit and the guinea pig. I changed the guinea pig's litter, and they were out of the bedding pellets, so I went and got some more of those and dropped those off, and then I went home. And that's kind of about it. Just sort of hung around doing very little throughout the day. So, anyway. Yeah, I don't know that I have an awful lot more to report. It might be possible to get through a couple of chapters of Volume 2 before the new year begins, so that would be helpful. I'm actually on chapter 14 right now, and I've been reporting for a while that I am working on draft 3 of the book of volume 2, but in point of fact, I'm on draft 4. It's just that the latter half of the book needs such a rewrite, it almost doesn't count, because that part I'm essentially going to be scrapping and starting over again next year. So I feel like that's just going to reset the clock, at least on half of the book. And I just, it's only because it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, the way it's written. It's kind of not working, and I have to redo that. So that, I knew it when I wrote it and was rewriting it in the previous drafts, and I was like, you know what, this isn't it. This is just not going to work. So I'm going to go through it. I think what I really ought to do right now is make a quick and dirty EPUB of what I have and just read it. Just read it. And read it, stop, you know, beginning to end, and get a sense of where I go off the rails and what needs to be done to fix it. Because I know where I want this to end. I'm just not entirely certain how to get there just yet. So we'll keep working. I'm going to not go through this light because there's a Johnny Law car down the road. Pulled somebody over. They've been out in force today. You know, they say they don't have quotas, and I believe them, but I do believe they have, every now and then, initiatives to get out on the road and, you know, pull people over and cite tickets and stuff, or give them tickets. I didn't want to try to run the light here. It was giving me a yellow, and I don't think I would have made it through without it turning red, and who knows, they might have gone after me next. Don't want it. So anyway, yeah, I guess that's it. You know, thinking about volume 1, I guess I'm at the point now where I can look back on it and say, do I like it? Did it do what I wanted it to do? Maybe it's wrong to do that now because it is, you know, only half the book, or half the story, I should say. But I think it stands on its own well enough. So do I like it? I think I do. I think I do. I think that it starting, you know, from where it starts to where it ends, I don't think it's easy to predict. I think that it's E-Jock all over. I think I'm true to the character. You know, he does progress in time. He does change over time from where he was. I mean, if you look at him in this book and then go back and look at him in Motherlode, you realize that this guy has come a long way, but not necessarily, you know, not necessarily in the best way. He's not the best person he could be. In many ways, he's, you know, he has changed. He has progressed is the wrong word, but he has evolved over time. You know, the events of his life and all of that introspection that he puts himself through. I think that it's valid. You'll read it and, you know, or listen to it or whatever, and I think you'll agree with me, at least I like to believe that you'll agree with me, that I think the character has evolved in time. And the things that have happened to him up until now have colored his perspective. And as I say, it doesn't necessarily make him a better person, so I won't say he's progressed, but he has evolved. In many ways, he's not a good man. He's a kind of a bad man. He's certainly done bad things, but I think the difference between, and I somewhat get into that exact distinction in this book, but in E-Jock's case, I think he, in some ways, is a bad man, because in a lot of ways, he chooses to do things that are not really that, they're not honorable. They're not necessarily altruistic, though they might benefit other people. He's really doing it for himself. So in many ways, he's very selfish. And of course, he's still just as arrogant as he ever is. And kind of a jerk to people sometimes. But in the end, I think that he's an interesting character. I find him fascinating, but I think other people might find him at least passingly interesting. And to see the sort of shenanigans he gets up to should at least, you know, provide distraction from daily life. And as a writer of fiction, that's about all you can hope for most days, especially genre fiction. Spaceships and ray guns and all of that. On occasion in the past, people have said, you know, this is a story that this could have been told in modern times. It didn't need to be science fiction. This could have been told without the science fiction setting. This could have been just a regular story. And maybe someone else could have written it that way, but I couldn't have. You know, I could not have written this set in modern times. Because if you set it in modern times, then you are beholden to the facts, right? If I set this in some war-torn country in the world, you know, Street Candles will say, if I set that in some war-torn country that exists somewhere in the world, I would need to know an awful lot about that country and about the cultures involved and the people involved. And, you know, that's a lot of research. And some people excel at research. But unless you've lived it, in many ways, you're just approaching it as an outsider. And your work is always going to feel like there's a certain disconnect or insincerity in your approach, no matter how much work you try to, you know, put into it. Which is why historical stuff is often better for that, right? Especially stuff that happened before anyone in the world today was alive, right? Because then you have a lot more license then. You can look up facts and, you know, dates and names and stuff and just sort of slot it right in. And it a lot of times it works really well because, you know, nobody lived there. Nobody necessarily knows these things. You know, if you do tons and tons and tons of work, you might get something that is more factual than if you just sort of take the events and slot them into your story. But, you know, it won't necessarily be a better story for it, you know? That's why, for me, I prefer a made-up, fantastical sort of setting, you know, sort of universe, where, you know, I can say this stuff happens and no one can tell me it didn't because I made it all up. And, you know what? I was going to go to Ace Hardware and I took the wrong turn. So I guess I'm not going to Ace Hardware today. I'm going to go to Lowe's. Very good. So yeah, for a lot of reasons, having a made up setting is so much better for me. I just can't do research like a lot of people can, and I don't trust, you know, I can't do that kind of research, and I wouldn't trust myself once I'd done it. I wouldn't trust that I'd captured anything like reality by doing that kind of research. And you know, cuz just knowing facts and figures, you know, that's where you start. That's not at all where you end. And I can't even do that much, so I just do what I do. And it's the best I can manage. So anyway, I'm at Lowe's, and I guess I'm sort of just rambling. So I guess that's it for today, because I am gonna look for a draw cut saw.